A pregnant woman arrives at a hospital emergency room with a minor cut on her finger. 3 hours later, she leaves with a Band-Aid and a bill for $629. This isn't fiction. It's the reality of American healthcare, where the rules of normal economics collapse into absurdity. In most markets, competition lowers prices. In healthcare, it raises them. An MRI scan for the same body part in the same city can cost anywhere from $400 to $4,000, depending on which facility you walk into. How did we arrive at this bewildering landscape where medical bills have become the leading cause of personal bankruptcy, affecting over 500,000 American families each year? Healthcare wasn't always a business designed to extract maximum revenue. The transformation began innocently enough during World War II, when wage controls prevented companies from offering higher salaries to attract workers. The solution? Tax-exempt health benefits. These early insurance plans were simple safety nets, covering catastrophic hospital stays over $100 while leaving routine doctor visits uncovered. They existed to prevent financial ruin from serious illness, not to make healthcare affordable or control costs. Between 1940 and 1955, insured Americans jumped from 10% to over 60%. Blue Cross/Blue Shield initially operated as nonprofits with community rating systems, accepting everyone at equal rates. But profit-seeking insurers like Aetna and Cigna cherry-picked younger, healthier patients through experience rating, offering them lower premiums while avoiding sicker individuals. By 1994, the Blues were hemorrhaging money and converted to for-profit status, abandoning their founding mission. Today's insurers spend roughly 80 cents per premium dollar on actual care, down from 95 cents in 1993. The remaining 20% covers administrative costs, executive salaries, and shareholder dividends. Rather than negotiating reasonable prices, insurers cultivate loyalty through misleading savings messages while quietly passing costs through skyrocketing premiums, expanded deductibles, and increased copayments. This transformed the entire ecosystem. Hospitals, physicians, pharmaceutical companies, and device manufacturers all became profit-maximizing enterprises, where a simple emergency room visit generates bills from multiple providers, each with their own pricing structures. Providence Portland Medical Center exemplifies healthcare's transformation. In the 1960s, Dr. Albert Starr developed the first artificial heart valve there. Marketing was unethical. I never saw him on a billboard, one colleague recalled. Hospitals charged modest weekly rates with minimal administrators. By the 1980s, Medicare and widespread insurance turned hospitals into revenue machines. Providence switched to itemized billing, multiplied administrators, and hired professional coders to maximize charges. Doctors received monthly statements comparing their revenue generation. Suddenly, they weren't just healers. They were profit centers. By the late 1990s, Providence featured marble columns, fountains, and expensive art. Providence Health and Services became America's third largest nonprofit hospital system with $2.6 billion in revenues by 2013. A not-for-profit Catholic healthcare ministry that blended Mother Teresa with Goldman Sachs. Hospital consultants taught strategic pricing that decoupled billed prices from actual costs. Hospitals closed money-losing emergency rooms in poorer neighborhoods while enhancing profitable offerings, orthopedics, cardiac care, and cancer treatment. The medical profession's ethical foundation quietly eroded. Dr. Michael Canning's 1990 American College of Surgeons pledge required surgeons to set fees commensurate with services rendered. By 2004, these ethical limitations had vanished. U.S. primary care doctors now make 40% more than German peers. Orthopedic surgeons earn over twice their German equivalents. Over 27% of U.S. physicians fall into America's top 1% income bracket. As Medicare payments decreased, doctors developed creative business strategies. Many opened ambulatory surgery centers charging facility fees, essentially room rentals for their own procedures. Gastroenterologists established colonoscopy centers billing $5,000 to $10,000 per procedure. Pathologists, anesthesiologists, radiologists, and emergency physicians transformed into independent contractors. By 2014, 65% of hospitals had contracted out emergency staffing. Around 2010, many physician groups at in-network hospitals stopped contracting with insurers entirely, leaving patients with massive surprise bills. Hope Marcus has relied on mesalamine for ulcerative colitis for decades. When her husband lost his job in 2005, Asacol cost $500 monthly. A generic rectal version was $167. She found a Medicare plan covering generics and anticipated Asacol's 2013 patent expiration. But Warner Chilcott preemptively introduced two new patented products, Asacol HD and Delzacol, then discontinued the original, forcing patients onto these reformulations. Marcus imported generic mesalamine from India via Canada for $55 monthly. By 2015, her generic rectal preparation hit $700 monthly, with the brand exceeding $1,200, up from $167 a decade earlier. The same drugs cost $55 monthly in the UK. Pharmaceutical companies employ sophisticated monopoly strategies, minor reformulations extending patents, combining existing medications into expensive new drugs, and pay-for-delay settlements, paying competitors to delay generics, costing consumers $3.5 billion annually. Barbara Baxter's hip replacement reveals extreme device markups. Her 2009 Stryker Rejuvenate hip fractured 2 weeks after a 2013 replacement. The metal-on-metal design leached chromium, cobalt, and titanium into tissue. It entered the market through the FDA's 510K program as substantially equivalent without rigorous testing. Unlike pharmaceuticals, devices face no pricing oversight. A $350 device might be billed at $36,000. A $65 spinal screw could cost patients $4,500. Hospital systems merged into massive regional conglomerates, dominating entire metropolitan areas. By 2016, New York Presbyterian controlled 8 hospitals and 6,000-plus affiliated doctors. With 95 hospital mergers in 2014 alone, over half of America's 306 geographic health markets became highly concentrated. Sutter Health exemplifies this transformation. Starting from serving gold rush miners, it expanded by rescuing troubled hospitals, acquiring essential services like maternity wards in isolated regions, and imposing all or nothing contracts on insurers. This dominance enabled astronomical pricing, 25 to 35% higher than competitors. A basic C-section at Sutter could cost $20,000 more than neighboring hospitals. Despite $19 billion in government incentives for electronic medical records, conglomerates weaponized this technology to protect market share. Sutter's $50 million EMR system subtly directed patient care to Sutter facilities by defaulting to their labs and services. Independent doctors faced hurdles referring patients elsewhere, while outside providers offering radiology at 1/6 Sutter's prices couldn't input results directly. This technical manipulation created a digital moat locking patients into the Sutter network while appearing compliant with federal requirements. The Affordable Care Act established healthcare as a government responsibility, creating vital protections, barring insurers from denying coverage for pre-existing conditions, banning lifetime limits, and capping out-of-pocket expenses. However, to win industry support, the administration abandoned national pharmaceutical price negotiation. Health insurance cooperatives, meant to be member-owned and not-for-profit, were systematically undermined. Congress slashed seed funding by more than half, leaving only 7 of 23 operational by July 2016. Medical debt remains the leading cause of bankruptcy, turning Americans into healthcare refugees who traveled to Mexico, Thailand, and Costa Rica for procedures costing 40 to 80% less. Every other developed nation delivers healthcare for a fraction of U.S. costs through fee schedules, single-payer systems eliminating administrative waste, or market-based approaches like Singapore's system, which combines public hospitals with transparency and competition, achieving costs 1/3 of U.S. levels. Become difficult question costs and treatments instead of passively complying. When selecting doctors, ask, is the practice hospital-owned? Will they refer only to in-network specialists? Do they use affordable labs? independent labs often charge 70 to 90% less than hospital facilities. During appointments, always ask about costs, how tests will change treatment, whether cheaper alternatives exist, and who else might bill you. An MRI might cost $3,000 at a hospital, but only $400 at an independent imaging center. When facing outrageous bills, negotiate immediately. Even low-level clerks can approve 20 to 50% discounts. Request complete itemization and check for errors. Studies show 50 to 90% of hospital bills contain mistakes. Arm yourself with Medicare payment rates and online pricing tools. A hospital might bill $15,000 for a procedure that Medicare pays $3,000 for, providing powerful negotiation leverage. American healthcare has descended into wealth-seeking decadence, squandering the legacy of pioneers like Frederick Banting, who gave away his insulin patent for $1, and Jonas Salk, who refused to patent the polio vaccine. Insurance companies, hospitals, pharmaceutical companies, device manufacturers, private equity firms, and politicians all share responsibility for this $3 trillion mess. The path forward requires collective action. Demand price transparency, question unnecessary care, appeal improper denials, and support ethical clinicians. Your health shouldn't require choosing between medical care and financial survival. That's not healthcare. That's extortion dressed in a white coat.